It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is draft week 2017. And if you are not fired up about that, then what are you doing? I mean, why are you even listening to this podcast? Get excited. Love the draft. Love the intrigue of what might happen. And love the fact that you can bet on the draft, which is what we're going to look at today. He is the star of the show. His name is Evan Silva. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, at Evan Silva. He dominates the RotoWorld.com scene. Love that website. I am merely Ross Tucker, a former NFL offensive lineman, who you can check out on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL or on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. If you want to make sure you're up to date on whenever this podcast is posted or any of the RT Media podcasts, follow our trusty producer, Bri, at RTF Podcast. Very, very excited about today's show, because we are joined by Dave Mason from Bet Online. That's betonline.ag. And we are talking about props for the NFL draft. Evan's into it. I'm into it. It's a fun event to be able to bet or place some wagers on, and really just to talk about the draft in that way, because they set the lines based on what they're expecting. So should be fun. I also wanted to make sure to announce the final contestants for the May MFL 10 draft. Rahman Maham, who took advantage of the BetDSI code, Tucker15. Michael Dubner, who took advantage of both SeatGeek and Amazon. Justin Conlin dominated SeatGeek, BetDSI, and Amazon. And John Pitt took advantage of that Tucker15 code at BetDSI as well. So, congratulations to you four. You are the final four contestants for the May MFL 10. You will be getting an email shortly with more instructions. And the race is already on to be part of the June MFL 10 draft. We will start announcing contestants for that one next week. All you have to do is send in any of the sponsor confirmations from RossTucker.com and say, yo, Ross, this is for the MFL 10. I want in. And we'll let you know whether or not you get picked each and every week in May before we start the June draft. Anyway, I can't wait anymore. Let's get to this guy, Dave Mason. I'm pumped.
Next meal.
All right, as promised, we're joined by Dave Mason from betonline.ag. Dave, it's Ross Tucker, Evan Silva. Really appreciate the time. I guess I just want to start with, betonline.ag. In particular, how you guys make the props and how heavily people typically bet the draft.
Sure. First of all, good to be with you guys today. These are challenging. Draft props are always challenging. You know, we've been offering these for probably over a decade now, and every year it's an event we like to offer because there is a lot of action, and it's such a huge event. You just see it everywhere on ESPN, NFL Network, etc. So, you know, whenever there is an event like this, you need odds on it, even though it's very difficult. So, yeah, I mean, we're taking information off, you know, mock drafts, articles, you know, all the speculation that comes in on a daily basis. I have NFL Network on right now. Sometimes I think that actually hurts because, you know, you hear all these different rumors come in and then you're like, oh my God, you know, that's totally going against one of our props, our odds. And, you know, you start second guessing yourself, and it's just so tricky because, you know, as you guys know, so many of these, none of these mock drafts are anything close to perfect, you know, and you're just basing all these odds off rumors and speculation, and some of it is just not good rumors. So it's they're tricky, but that's kind of how we come up with the odds. Now moving the odds is a whole different ball game.
So maybe I need to take a step back then, Dave.
Sure.
What exactly, and I probably should have been the first question, What exactly is your role at Bet Online?
Okay, well, I work for the I work in the marketing department mostly. So, you know, I'm working with players, getting players in, keeping them happy, keeping them betting. However, I do have work very closely with the stage. The stage is the guys who make the odds. So, especially on stuff like this, you know, as far as like, you know, NFL weekly numbers or NBA playoff numbers, they can do their thing on that. But for this kind of outside the box kind of stuff like this, where, you know, we just put up a bunch of political odds for Trump's 100-day speech on Saturday, I'll have a little bit more input on that. You know, with ideas, you know, when you're talking about the draft like this, you want – there's unlimited ideas you can come up with. So you want to think about stuff that the people are talking about, the hot players, the hot stories. So I help them with that, and I give my input on the odds a little bit. But mostly my role here is a marketing role.
Got it. Okay. How much action do you guys usually get on the NFL draft? You said a lot of people are into it. Is it a big event for you guys?
It has turned into that. Yes, it has. I mean, you know, like I said, going back a decade, 11 years, whatever, you offered a handful of props and you got a little bit of action, but I mean, it's just growing every year. I mean, I was looking at the action yesterday, and it's big, and a ton will come in. All the late people, you know, 90% of the bets will come in day of it. So by tomorrow, it's just going to be massive. The decisions will be very big. You know, it's not like the NBA playoff by any means, but, you know, we'll have action equal to some of the MLB games out there. So it means something, you know what I mean? It used to be just that you just put it up there and, you know, you lose a little bit, you win a little bit, no big deal. But now it's actually a lot more fun for us because you got a big decision on hand.
Got it. All right. Well, I want to let Evan, I know, has a million for you, and it was his idea to bring you on. So I'll let Evan start peppering you.
So the NFL draft, you know, I've always considered it one of the most difficult sports entities to predict. I mean, it's almost right up there with the NCAA tournament. You look at historically who has had good mock drafts in a given year, and I mean, they'll get maybe 12. Like last year, the best mock draft in the nation got 12 out of 32 picks correct. You know, that's what,
right.
Right around like between like 33% and 40%. So it's just such a difficult event to predict. I mean, not even the teams know what is going to happen. The teams don't even know who's going to be on the board for them at a certain pick. And then a trade will occur and that will just shake everything up. So, you know, I don't know how people outside the NFL would have a good chance at predicting it. It's just, it's really tough to predict. So therefore, are draft props, draft prop bets good for your guys' sports book, or are people able to beat the book each year? I mean, is it a winning proposition for the sports book or for the public?
Well, there's two ways of looking at this. Like I said, I work on the marketing side of things, so I love it. I mean, I love that people are betting.
Yeah.
People, you know, we'll see the football bettors that, you know, you haven't seen since the Super Bowl. We'll see those guys coming back for this, you know, refunding their accounts. They, you know, they've been dormant since February. They'll be coming back. So there's that way I look at it, and that's why I've always pushed the odds guys. Hey, we need this, we need that, and I could kind of see them rolling their eyes at me like, here we go again. Because on their side of things, it is so hard to book this stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, we're just basing our odds off rumors and innuendo and mock drafts. And you said the best guy out there last year only hit like 33% or something. And we're basing our odds off that. I mean, that's just a recipe for disaster. Now, of course, you know, the players are in the same boat. You know, they're looking at the same rumors and everything. So they're, you know, it's really no different there, but where, you know, we get hit a lot is stuff like yesterday, the Conley situation, is a perfect example. We, you know, the rumor comes in about him, these allegations about sexual assault or whatever. And all of a sudden, you know, we're getting flooded with the under picks for the Big Ten players in the first round. And now, sure, we have that information too, but it's different than an NBA spread. Let's say LeBron James breaks his ankle or something; he's out tonight, and where's next game or whatever, we have something that's called a screen for it where our odds guys, that information pops up instantly. I mean, they know before almost everybody. So they can close the odds real quick. Even if they do get hit a little bit, there's so much action on that where they can get buyback. Now, this stuff, even though there is a lot of action, it's nowhere near comparable. So if you get hit yesterday, you know, everybody's hitting the under, and we're like, oh, my God, what happened? You know, all it takes is a minute or two, and they close the odds, and, oh, that's why. So they close the odds, but now you're exposed on the under. So that's where these things are so tricky, especially these draft where, you know, last week it looks like player X is guaranteed to go in this location, and then a week later the mocks are totally different, and he slide in, and holy hell, we opened the odds last week, and they're totally different now. So that's why it's just so difficult, these draft props. But they're a lot of fun. Like I said, I work in the marketing side of things, so I'll let those guys figure out if we profit or not, and usually we don't, and I'll just worry about active numbers.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Gary and Conley situation. There was a similar, well, not nearly as serious allegations, but there was a kind of a similar situation where we found out some late news about a player in Jabril Peppers, the safety slash cornerback slash running back slash special teamer from Michigan, failed a drug test at the combine. What did you guys have to do after that news came out?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example as well. That's even a better example because that's one of our biggest exposures now. I mean, we had the over-under set at 28.5. The action was 50-50. You know, it's one of those – you don't get a lot of action at 50-50. The public always thinks that you book a number and you get even bets on both sides and you just sit back and do nothing. But that's not true. Most of these odds are – they're usually pretty one-sided from the public. But this wasn't the case in this prop. We had 50-50 action on each side. And then that news comes out, and, you know, our guys didn't see the news right away because they're managing the NBA props, the NHL props, and a gazillion different other things we offer. So they just get peppered with over 28.5. And, again, they close the odds real quick. What the heck's going on? Oh, that's why. So now it went from 50-50 action to where that's one of our biggest exposures within 2 minutes. You know, people are hitting that for the maximum. And so we have that odds closed now, but we did reopen something different. We opened, which is always fun with this draft because you can always open something different. So now we have, you get drafted in the first round plus 165, second round minus 130, or third or later paying out at plus 4225. So
are there any props this year where you've received much sharp action, like from bettors that you guys respect and therefore because – you know, bettors that you guys respect made those bets on one side, you guys had to make a change in the odds or even take it off the board or what have you.
Yeah, no, there's always sharp stuff on these props. And again, you know, people will hit me up on Twitter when I say sharp. You know, they'll be like, oh, they're sharp NFL draft bettors. I'm like, well, no, they're sharp bettors. These guys are only betting when they have – when they think they have an advantage. When they bet, we listen, you know. What, you know, 10 guys could be on side X, but if one sharp bettor's on side Y, you know, we're going to respect that more than the 10 bettors on side X. So, excuse me, to answer your question, yeah, Jamel Adams, we opened that at over under 6.5. That's now down. We took sharp action on the under, and so that's now 5.5 under minus 160, over 10.5 in SEC round one. What else? Some the wide receiver. How many wide receivers in the first round? That opened under plus 350, as I recall. Sharps hit the hell out of that early, and that's now down all the way down to plus 200. Same with running backs.
They hit the under. They hit the under on that.
The under 2.5 at plus 350. Yeah. They're not hitting it now at plus 200. So, you know, sharps are betting numbers, right? They're not just betting that under 2.5. They're betting at plus 350, not plus 200. Also, the running back, we opened it over under 2.5. I think it was plus 300 for on the under, and the first five bets we saw were sharp right around that plus 300, so that's now plus 250. So, yeah, I mean, there's always sharp action on this. There's always guys looking at these odds, and these guys are all tuned in. When they bet, we respect it.
Yeah, definitely. And I have one more question, and then Ross and I are going to jump into some individual player props. I was going to mention those last two that you just mentioned, and I'll talk a little bit more about those. I like those still. So looking at a situation like Joe Mixon, where he's another guy with, you know, a severe off-field question in his background, I noticed that at first you could get great odds on Joe Mixon lasting past pick 46.5, which I believe, without looking at a second round mock draft right now, I believe that's the Eagles are at 46. I don't know. But at one point you get really good odds on the over for Joe Mixon, but that is no longer the case. Do you know in that specific instance with Joe Mixon why those odds changed so much? And are there ever situations where, you know, you're taking a lot of action on one side and people are betting a lot of money on one side, so you change the odds to try to get people to put action on the other side to kind of even things out? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, as far as Mixon goes, mm-hmm. We took most of the action is on the under, including a little bit of sharp money. So that kind of explains the odds movement there. But mm-hmm. as far as moving these odds, I mean, so much goes into it. You know, like I said, we respect that sharp money so much. But you know, it's hard balancing the book on these. With all these rumors and everything, like I said, and we definitely handle these differently than how we handle traditional point spread. There we use the sharp action even more. You know, there's something called a reverse line movement. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's when a majority of the money is on, let's say, team A, let's say minus 3 points. Let's say the Falcons minus 3 points. Majority of the money is on the Falcons at minus 3 points. However, the line moves to minus 2.5, which is less than advantageous. You think it goes to minus 3.5, but it goes to minus 2.5. That's a reverse line move because someone took team B. Someone took, I guess, the Carolina at plus 3. So we respect that and move it the other way. So there's a lot of that, much more of that going on in a traditional point spread, a traditional bet. Not so much of that going on here. These things move, like I said, so it's so difficult with all the rumors, smoke screens coming in. It's harder to determine what's what. We try to balance the book as much as possible. Respect that sharp action. If you're getting hammered one side or another, you know, try to figure out why. If you can't figure out why, if you want to roll the dice, keep taking that action or just move it a little bit based on odds, but you don't want to move it so much where the sharps are looking for that advantageous price.
Awesome, Dave. Really, really appreciate the time, and it's fun. I never even really realized people bet on the draft. I guess I just hadn't been paying attention, but I am now. Thanks so much.
Yeah, don't bet on anything. I mean, like I said, we put up odds for Donald Trump's 100-day rally on Saturday. You know, what's he going to mention first, Syria or North Korea? You know, we have odds up on Serena's baby, will be a boy or a girl. So, you know, I could put up odds on, you know, how many times I scratch my nose today and someone's going to bet it.
Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
Next meal.
So, Evan, as you said with Dave, there's some specific props that you really like and think are interesting that we're going to talk through a little bit. This mm-hmm. is fun. I'm really, really into this. I'm going to put some money down over at betdsi.com on these bets. Make sure you guys do the same using the code Tucker15. How about the number of wide receivers and running backs in the first round, Evan? The number for each is 2.5. Let's start with wide receivers. I mean, I feel pretty strongly about that one.
Oh, really? All right, well, then you start off.
Yeah, I'd go over. I'd be surprised if Corey Davis, Mike Williams, and John Ross don't all go in the first round. If they don't, it's because of injury concerns, I think, about Corey Davis and John Ross. But I still think when you look at how it unfolds that those three guys all go in round one. So I would take the over on that.
Yeah, I think that if it was just a straight-up bet, I would take – I don't even know if I would take the over because – no, I would take the over because of what you just mentioned. I think one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, there's a feeling around like about 50 players right now that they're going to go in the first round. And people have a lot of confidence in the individual players. When they take a step back and zoom out, they don't really realize that all these guys can't go in the first round. So the odds are so much more favorable for under 2.5 receivers in the first round. Like, you know, I'm not going to use the actual numbers on like Bet Online for this right now because I don't have them in front of me. I'm in my car, but it's like if you bet the over on 2.5 receivers to go in the first round, you win like you bet $1 and you win 50 cents. But if you bet a dollar on the under for 2.5 receivers, then you win like, you know, you win like $2. So
got it.
This was one of the props that I initially discussed with Josh Norris, and he thinks that only two receivers are going to go in the first round. He thinks that Mike Williams is a lock, and then he thinks it's a question mark on Corey Davis and John Ross, and that is due to the injury concerns. So, well, if it was an even bet, I'd probably take the over on 2.5 receivers. I think that the odds are so favorable in the other direction, and you know, guys are going to get pushed out of the first round that we right now think are first rounders. I think I would take the under on 2.5 receivers in the first round, just based almost entirely on the odds.
Running backs, and again, I don't know the odds, but I'm just going to go more by the numbers and say whether I think it's over or under, because I don't have the odds in front of me. But for running backs, 2.5. I would take the under there. I think Fournette and McCaffrey go in the first round. I'm just not sure about Dalvin Cook, so I'd probably go under.
Yeah, could not agree more. And this is a situation where the odds are still favorable for under 2.5 running backs in the first round. You know, your risk, I think, right now, your biggest risk is late in the first round with the Buccaneers at number 19. They've been heavily connected to Dalvin Cook. Of course, this morning, you know, Schefter reports that the Buccaneers are trying to trade out, which would help us on this bet. And then the Chiefs, I think they're at like 26 or 27. I think that they might take a running back. So there's definitely some risk here, but it's another favorable odds bet, and I like that we're in agreement on this one. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a very conceivable scenario where you could maybe hit both of these. Two wide receivers go in round one, two running backs go in round one, and you're really on the strong odds side of both of those bets.
Speaking of McCaffrey, you know, his number, you know, over under where he gets picked has come down 4 picks the last couple of days. I don't really understand that because it feels like based on everything you're hearing, the momentum is going up. So I guess I would take the under. Is that the right way to describe it? I would take that if he's at 12.5 now, I think he's going to go before that.
Yeah, I think so too. One of the first ones that I jumped on was Christian McCaffrey when his prop was 8.5. I went with the over at that time. Now it is at 12.5, and I'm gonna jump on the under. And I mean, there's a possibility, albeit slight, that I think I could get both of those right if he goes at picks 9, 10, 11, or 12. And at worst, I think that I'm probably just going to break even. So that's going to be my plan personally on Christian McCaffrey. But yeah, right now, and I don't like to take the unders on these guys. I would much rather take the over on almost every individual player prop bet, because, you know, there's just so much more chance for like a guy to just go later than everybody expects. I mean, Christian McCaffrey could easily still go at like number 14 to the Eagles or number 15 to the Colts, you know, but you're right. I think that the buzz is building big time toward him potentially at this point being a top 10 pick.
What about the first running back taken prop? Yeah. That's an interesting one. You know, I would still probably lean Fournette, but you never know. It could be McCaffrey. It really depends, I think, a lot on, like, what happens with the Jaguars at 4.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with you. If it was just a straight-up deal, I'd probably take Fournette. But with all this buzz building on Christian McCaffrey, and you can get incredible odds right now on Christian McCaffrey to be the first running back selected. It is he's plus 500, which means if you bet $1, you're going to win $5. Whereas with Leonard Fournette, he's at like, I mean, last time I checked, he was at like minus 600. You know, you're not really winning anything if you're betting on Leonard Fournette to be the first running back selected. That's because he's the favorite, and he's probably the likeliest running back to be first off the board. But there's such a bigger profit potential for Christian McCaffrey. And he's a guy that is just, he's going to fit every offense. You know, Leonard Fournette is not necessarily like that. A little bit limited in the passing game. You know, he's not like a zone run scheme sort of back, I don't think. And he's not going to fit every team. Whereas Christian McCaffrey, he can fit every single team. And I really like Christian McCaffrey as an odds-based bet to be the first running back selected on Thursday.
I like it. Okay, so what about T.J. Watt? Not really a skill guy, but it's still one that you liked and caught your attention.
Right. So he's an edge pass rusher, and those guys are very, very valuable. You know, I mean, I think that the most valuable position in pro sports is the quarterback position. And that almost necessarily makes positions that disrupt the quarterback the second most valuable commodity, at least in pro football, not necessarily in pro sports, but in pro football. You know, the ability to disrupt the most valuable player on the field, and T.J. Watt can do that. And he's got the NFL lineage. And there are a lot of teams, if you look in the back half of the first round, that need pass rushers. I mean, the Packers stand out. You know, they lost Julius Peppers. Clay Matthews is kind of on a downward trend going on age 31. Nick Perry, they gave a big money deal to, but he has really only been productive for 1 of 5 seasons and has frequently battled injuries. I mean, they need another pass rusher. The Dallas Cowboys obviously need a pass rusher. And just because he played, the Dolphins have been connected to pass rushers heavily. And just because T.J. Watt plays this position and is really good at it and has that NFL lineage that I think that he's, of course, J.J. Watt's brother, I think that that's going to help him and make like NFL evaluators more confident in taking, more comfortable with T.J. Watt. And so his prop bet is just, will he go in the first round or will he not go in the first round? And the odds are the same on both sides. I'm leaning toward him going in the first round. Now, I talked to Josh Norris about this, and he says that the closer we get to the draft, the less confident he feels that T.J. Watt will go round one. But I think if I was going to bet that one, I would go with T.J. Watt in the first round.
A couple more I want to hit with you. Let's get to a couple more running back ones. Dalvin Cook, the pick prop is 26.5 for him.
Yeah, so the Buccaneers at 19 still scare me with Dalvin Cook, but I'm going with the over. I think that there is I think it's 50-50 whether or not he goes in the first round, and then you still have picks 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32 where you can get this right. And again, with these individual player props, I feel a lot better taking the over on them specifically, because you just there's so much more space where you can get this right, whereas with betting the under, you're really limiting yourself. I mean, I think you have to have a really high level of confidence in where the player is going to get drafted. I don't have a whole lot. I don't have a high level of confidence in pretty much anything that is going to occur in the draft, other than like Myles Garrett being a top two pick, probably the number one pick. But that's one of the few things that I have a high level of confidence in. And Dalvin Cook is one of the players I have the least amount of confidence in terms of his draft slot, because of his he's had a bunch of off-field issues. He had three shoulder surgeries in college. He tested poorly at the combine. He plays running back. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons to think that Dalvin Cook, although he has this huge name and he was super productive, and I mean, I think he's going to be a good player in the NFL. I'm not so sure that teams are going to feel a lot of confidence in themselves using a first-round pick on Dalvin Cook. So I like the over on 26.5 with the caveat that the Bucs still scare me at 19.
Yeah, it's interesting because the latest report from Schefter, at least, is that the Bucs are trying to trade down, maybe out of the first round altogether. So that would be interesting. Remember, the point I would make is any information coming out right now is coming out because somebody wants it to come out. I think people need to realize that. It's not like, oops, I didn't mean for you to know that. Like, there's a reason why the information comes out. What about last running back? And then I got one quarterback one. But how about Joe Mixon, 46.5?
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about this with Dave. This is really tough. I mean, I do buy that teams at the top of the second round are going to be looking hard at Joe Mixon. The Bengals, I think at 41, are a team that, I think that people that I kind of trust and follow think that the Bengals are potentially targeting Joe Mixon at number 41. I'm gonna just kind of pass on this one because he's a really tough guy to figure out his draft slot. I mean, I still wouldn't be surprised if he fell out of round two. At the last minute, the owner says, you know what, we're not going to do this. We are not going to take this guy and bring in this potential PR disaster. At the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if he somehow slipped into the back end of the first round. He's got a really volatile draft position, I think, and I'm just going to kind of pass on this one.
Last one I want to get to with you, DeShone Kizer, the Notre Dame quarterback. His number is 30.5.
Yeah, so Ross, what do you think he's going to go under or over pick 30.5?
That's a really tough one. Because there's so much negativity out there about him right now. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just not sure I'm buying all of that. And I do think that there could be some teams that would see value in trading back up into the end of round one to take him. Is that 32? Is that 31? Is that Pittsburgh at 30? Would Pittsburgh take him at 30? I guess if I had to bet it, I'd probably stay away. But if I had to bet it, I'd probably go the over, that he wouldn't get drafted before the 30th pick.
All right. Yeah. See, this is one of I wish that you would have had a more confident take on the over. I anticipated that. This was one of the first ones I just maxed bet it immediately on the over for DeShone Kizer at pick 30.5. I mean, this is another one that Josh Norris signed off as well on. The odds are not that great anymore. I think it got hit real, real hard. I mean, I think that he's also, you know, at the same, while I think that there still is a little bit of a chance that he could go earlier than expected right now, I also think that there's a chance that dude could, like, slip into the third or fourth round. You know, like, I don't know if NFL personnel evaluators are going to be loving DeShone Kizer right now. Just had a bad senior year, so many fumbles and turnovers and mistakes, and his pre-draft process really hasn't been great. I remember Daniel Jeremiah remarking how poorly DeShone Kizer threw the ball at the combine, in combine drills. And I think that we would all agree that combine drills, especially for quarterbacks, are probably not the best, you know, means of making your decision. But for some NFL evaluators, that was probably the first time that they ever got to see DeShone Kizer play, throw the ball live. And if you listen to guys who evaluate players, they put a lot of stock in like their first exposure to watching a guy live, or not necessarily their first exposure, but just watching the guy live. Like, they think that that is important. So DeShone Kizer, I love the over. Again, the odds are not great at this point, but I still think that it's such a good bet that I would probably take the over. One more I wanted to mention. On Bet Online, they have a prop for how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. And I think that the answer is probably 3, 4, or 5. And I think that, okay, and so if you look at the odds, like the heavy favorite right now is for there to be 3 first-round quarterbacks, which of course would be Trubisky and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And then, but for there to be 4 quarterbacks in the first round, the odds are really, really favorable. So if Davis Webb, a guy who has generated a lot of buzz, you know, jumps in, you know, a team takes him like at 32, wanting to get that fifth-year option, then you win. If DeShone Kizer goes late in the first round, then you win. I think a lot of teams are going to like a guy like Nate Peterman, especially with the with the success recently of a guy like Kirk Cousins and Andy Dalton. You know, I think that he's that level of a prospect potentially. So I think that number 4 quarterbacks in the first round because of the odds is a pretty interesting bet, even though I agree that 3 quarterbacks should be the favorite.
That was awesome. I've never gotten into betting the draft before or looking at the prop bets. Very, very cool. Nice work by you, Evan, to bring on Dave Mason. Again, his Twitter handle was at Dave Mason, B-O-L. And you guys can check out more of what they've got going on with these lines over at betonline.ag. We'll be back next week with a gigantic podcast breaking down the situation fits, where guys got drafted, and what it means for their fantasy focus and their fantasy prospects moving forward. You know, you can always ask us any email questions you have. Just send any sponsor confirmation to me, Ross at rostucker.com, with your email question. That's also how you can enter to be a part of the June MFL 10 draft as we keep these drafts going. iTunes rankings, comments, always very much appreciated. So is downloading us on multiple devices. When you're watching the draft tomorrow night, just make sure you're subscribing on every device you have to the Fantasy Feast. I'm stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So I've been telling you guys about TrueCar for a while now, and what's amazing about it is as soon as my wife said, honey, I need to get a new car, I said, TrueCar, because they have the information on anything that's been sold in your area. Think about it. 3 million cars sold, over 13,000 dealers, over 700,000 pre-owned vehicles available, average savings of over $3,000 off MSRP. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want, and here's the key. TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Before we even started looking, she was looking at Explorers, Tahoes. I said, hey, look at TrueCar, and you can find out exactly what other people have paid in the area. It is awesome. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. Plus, TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.